Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Not one of Joe Biden's defenders has even attempted to explain what Joe and his family did, including his children and his grandchildren. What were they doing getting all of this money? I believe we have a compromised president. Yeah. He was bribed and now he's being blackmailed. He's a Manchurian candidate.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
why Crooked Joe is letting other countries walk all over the United States.
Yeah, that's a good point from former President Donald Trump. And I pray to God Almighty that he becomes president someday down the line. How you doing, friends? I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash today. Stick around, got some great conversations on even your pocketbook, gas prices. Yes, the swamp corruption up in D.C. Oh, you know, the border crisis, it's still here, and generational shifts in television. So much to talk to you about today. Stick around, amigo. I know you're going to like this edition of The Dana Show. Dana, thank you so much for the call today, my friend. Well, yeah, the Manchurian candidate. How much is he in for? But 20-some-odd million dollars? What about Ukraine? You know, what about all this other money coming in from all these different sources, with which the Republicans, some Republicans, are doing a good job of finding the accounts, finding the money. The thing is, you need to overlap. I hope someday soon that they'll be able to overlap the numerous accounts that they've exposed, the millions of dollars that have come in from foreign governments for the, you know, for the benefit, the political benefit from the Biden brand. Is we're becoming more aware of this. Maybe overlap some of these transactions with the actual deposit, with the actual news, the happenings in the news, and some of these things. For example, in Ukraine, like getting rid of the prosecutor, getting rid of an investigator, looking into Burisma, where Joe Biden's son working, getting top dollar as a board member for influence. It's obvious to everybody. Is influencing. Got speed, got strength, and wisdom to these investigators on the Republican side, because unfortunately, they will need to be connecting the dots for the media and actually might even have to present the entire thing from A to Z, not only showing deposits, not only showing the millions of dollars, not only showing who among the Biden clan, all these different nephews, nieces, aunts, uncles, brothers, whoever it was, all these people that they filtered this money for the enrichment of the Biden, entire Biden family, in an industry that is obvious to everyone. The only thing that the Biden family can, maybe Joe Biden or KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre, anybody else making excuses for the Biden family, point to, well, they're in the business of arts dealing, right? We got Hunter Biden taking paint to canvas, literally spitting on it, spitting paper wads on it, taking a straw, and that's art. That's selling for millions of dollars because it's Hunter Biden. That's crazy. That's the only product, tangible product. I mean, it's like the Democrat leadership and the complicit media are demanding that you show proof, you show pictures, you show video of Joe Biden in the same room, shaking hands, taking that envelope, that orange envelope, or you know, the little baggie full of money. You need to show them that for them to believe. Where for Donald Trump, for much, much less than that, I mean, I don't want to revisit all that crap from the past, but you know, when they impeached Donald Trump, accusing him of withholding international aid to Ukraine. You know, as a quid pro quo. You do this, you investigate Hunter Biden, you investigate the Biden influence on Burisma, you investigate, or, you know, we're not going to give you the billions of dollars in international aid just because of a phone call, as Donald Trump called the perfect phone call, just because of that language. They impeach. Well, while for Joe Biden, we've got all these transactions, millions upon millions of dollars in Biden bank accounts, multiple layers of Biden bank accounts. Yeah, you can make that argument. They made more. They made lesser and ridiculous arguments, stupid arguments, when they were impeaching Donald Trump. And this is why I love Donald Trump. Look, I know he doesn't have political tact. But that's what is needed this day. And that's why he's so hated. That is why they want to take him out. They don't want him running for president. They don't want him influencing anybody who wins political office. The swamp wants to keep things as is. And in one of the conversations that I have come, hopefully I can share with you somewhere in this three-hour set later on, the swamp will protect its own swamp creatures, the swamp policy, for their pocketbook, for their benefit, just like Joe Biden and company are enriching themselves, obviously, through the years have been enriching themselves to the tune of millions of dollars. The entire Biden clan, very well dressed, in tuxedos, multi-million dollar properties all over the place, beach properties here, multiple homes. How is it possible? Even over a generation, let me go, even over that many years. How many years has Joe Biden been there? Like 40, 50 years now? Even on his senatorial salary, there's no way in hell that he'd make that much money unless he's doing something crooked. And there are bank receipts, bank deposits, Bidens all over the place receiving this. Yes, that is obvious. Anybody with common sense and just a couple of cells in your brain for intelligence would understand that. But oh no, the leftist media demands that you prove, you show the final video, final picture, and show us the audio as well of these illegal transactions. In the meantime, Donald Trump, who wants to drain this swamp, drain this influence, that conversation I'm going to share with you, the way the system is set up right now, Democrats and Republicans, any politician going up to D.C., the Washington, D.C. is the decision-making central. Washington, D.C. has all the power. You know, when you look at the local level, for example, you guys who pay attention to local politics, you got, you know, justice of the peace, or you got some local commissioner, city commissioner, county commissioner. You got people running for office. Some of these positions, city hall, for example, or probably the best example, school board. For a non-paid position, generally, nationwide, a non-paid position for school board. Isn't it amazing? So there's so many billboards all over town for these positions. Those billboards, the ones that they put on the side of the road, those are super expensive. And these candidates will spend tens and tens of thousands of dollars. It's a coalition of friends and business partners that will spend tens of thousands of dollars to get that person elected to school board, because at school board, you know what needs to be constructed. At school board, you know what needs to be purchased, either the annual school pictures for the kids or uniforms or food contracts. You know, you're in the decision-making arena. Same thing for the utility board. Same thing for the water district. Same thing for all the, and that's local level. In Washington, if you have for example, at the local level, $60,000 contract with some food vendor for the school district, well, add like six more zeros at the end, or three or six more zeros at the end. The only difference in corruption is the size of the contract. In Washington, D.C., Democrats, Republicans, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, this is the game that they play in the swamp, protect itself. And that's what Donald Trump wishes to get rid of. And I pray to Almighty God that he gets back up there. And like a bull in a china shop, he messes things up for them and breaks this pattern. And frees, to some degree, can free America from this corruption that's just natural to humans. See, Donald Trump, he's not beholden to anyone. He's a billionaire. He's a businessman. That's That's the reason many of us voted. I continue to vote for him because of that. Because $20 million, you could say that Joe Biden is beholden to the tune of, what, $20 million to China because of these deals that never went through. You can copy-paste the same situation for many politicians up in Washington, D.C. And these politicians that you and I are supposed to send up to Washington, we need to demand from them, among many things, for example, balance the budget, rein in spending. Oh, and by the way, when you're up there, vote to limit your access to certain, I don't know, stock transactions, to purchases of certain contracts, to certain investments that deal with military or purchases at, I don't know, the ag department, the housing department, the education department, all those things. You need to rein in this corruption, but it all starts, sadly, with you and me, the voters, our neighbors, our family, our disconnected family, who pretty much have given up. They say, well, there's local corruption at the school board. People get in there because they want the influence. They want to have some type of influence, maybe a little bit under the table love for influencing the purchases of the school district. Up in Washington, D.C., the same thing's happening. It's just at a much greater scale. There's no way to change that. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. I say, send Donald Trump up there. Send Donald Trump and people that are like-minded for America first. Send someone to Washington, D.C. that's going to shake things up and demand that all, one of the things that we need to demand of all these politicians that we send to Washington, D.C. is to make sure that they don't stick their finger in the honeypot. They don't stick their toe into this big pool of cash. We have multiple millionaires in Washington, D.C. They go home with multiple properties, just like Joe Biden, just like Joe Biden. Multiple properties, big fat bank accounts, bills that are paid for the rest of their life. And if it's not them, it's going to wind up being their family. That's one of the conversations I got for you coming up in just a little bit. Okay, off the soapbox, off the soapbox. Alan Dershowitz had a sweet. I'm going to play this one right before the break. It's cut 18, Steve. Thanks for this one. You got Joe Biden, by subordinates and other Democrats on the front lines, whether it's J6, whether it's the document case, whether it's the hush money in New York, and now the Joe case against him. This is embarrassing what's taking place in our country. Political opponent trying to get rid of his top rival, just like they do in banana republics. Play that cut from Dershowitz.
We're supposed to go to court. We're supposed to go to Congress. You can't make those things crimes, and you can't expand the RICO statute to now include political objections. That just, you know, on my podcast, I give bananas every day. I was up to two bananas, sort of banana republic. I'm now up to three, maybe even four after this indictment.
Yeah, there might be a fifth one on the way, Mr. Dershowitz. This is banana republic type of style, and this is the banana republic style of politics that's taking place in our country. The president wanting another 4 years, Joe Biden trying to take out his main rival, allowing subordinates all across the land at the so-called Justice Department or so-called district attorney prosecutor's office, for political reasons, hyperextending, going through all sorts of contortions to try to take out Donald Trump. And it's obvious to the American people, just as it is obvious to all of us, to me and anybody with any brain, that Joe Biden, as Donald Trump correctly said, yeah, he's the Manchurian candidate. He owes China X amount of money. Sure, why not? He's compromised. China owns him. Ukrainians own him. No one owns Donald Trump, just as an example. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. We're broadcasting today from KURV, a faithful affiliate here in South Texas. We have a new studio in Mission, Texas. Thanks for tuning in.
Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
From South Texas, this is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and honored to be back with you behind the microphone here at The Dana Show. And if you'd like to say hello, you need to join me via X, via Twitter. You know, my neighbor here, Elon Musk, here in Brownsville, he's got this X thing, so do it at Sergio Talk at Sergio Talk. Okay, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Got a couple of technology notes here. Real quick, first up, former President, former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows looking to move his charges in Georgia and that election case in Georgia to federal court. Mark Meadows looking to make the move so he can ask the judge to dismiss this case. I would hope and pray that because this issue is more than just for Georgia. This issue affects everybody in the nation. The fact they're trying to prosecute Donald Trump in Georgia. I hope he's successful getting it over to the federal court for another thing. Well, at least on the federal side, in case the nightmare scenario becomes a reality. At the federal level, well, you got a president that can pardon former President Trump, Trump can pardon himself and maybe associates. But anyway, that's an argument, legal argument for another day. A new study says for a greater sense of well-being, you need to say hi to your neighbors, say hi to as many neighbors as possible on a daily basis, and that will create a better sense of well-being. Technology notes, I see Apple is expected to unveil a big upgrade to celebrate the 10th anniversary of their smartwatch. You know, after all these years, 10 years now, I don't see the use for a watch. That's just me. Maybe for you, it's awesome. But anyway, there's this new device dubbed Watch X from Apple to celebrate 10 years. It's going to include a way for you to monitor your blood pressure. That sounds pretty cool, right? Also going to feature a thinner case, have a micro LED display. But we were joking around here in the newsroom. Like, how does it check, like, blood pressure? Does it tighten up, like, one of those blood pressure cuffs? Like, ooh, that's a little too tight, right? I'm Sergio Sanchez. Say hi on X, Twitter thing, at Sergio Talk. This is The Dana Show.
As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at the special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free. And it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
Has America just become an insurance company with a military? Fitch has officially downgraded America's global credit rating. What's our government's plan? Eliminate tax breaks for your pensions and 401ks and replace them with government retirement accounts. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
You're using a RICO statute that is aimed at organizations that conduct themselves purely for corrupt reasons in engaging in criminal behavior and conduct that we are trying to root out under the guise of some legal business. That's what RICO is all about. I've brought those cases. My last RICO case was against a very complex gang operating as a virtual cartel. And this is the bastardization of a statute that we put into place to try to root out very complex, corrupt organizations.
Yes, sir. That's Attorney Brett Tolman. He used to work for Orrin Hatch, I understand, a former U.S. attorney. And the RICO Act is supposed to go after gangsters, go after cartels. What is taking place in Georgia against Donald Trump and company, all his former attorneys, all underlings, subordinates, 19 people, the RICO Act against this conspiracy. He made an observation, made a phone call, and said, hey, I need to find, we need another 11,000, I think it's like 11,800 votes, something like that. Just because of that, this is, from my perspective, it's abuse of power. And how I wish that individuals who, for political reasons, and that's all I can call it, because it's obvious to me, I'm sure it is obvious to everybody else, what's taking place in the state of Georgia, this prosecutor, rogue prosecutor, who again is benefiting politically and in fundraising for going after Donald Trump, the ogre, the number one enemy, the one that they want to destroy, put in jail, throw away for life. If they could somehow do more physical harm to him, I'm sure they could. But this prosecutor in Georgia will benefit politically in fundraising. Already did. In fact, her website was stating all the charges against Donald Trump. If I'm correct, her website, fundraising website, was stating all the charges, just like that little glitch from the county DA's office showing all the counts, all the accusations, all the charges against Donald Trump and company. What was it, like 8 hours, 9 hours before the grand jury actually was done for the day? It just stinks to high heaven, all this corruption that's taking place, the misapplication of this RICO Act for political purposes, for political and fundraising benefit on the part of that woman and the state of Georgia. It is very sad what's taking place in our country. And as Mr. T. Brett Tolman was saying, explaining the proper application of the RICO Act. By the way, when are cartels in Mexico that are shoveling billions of dollars in deadly fentanyl toward our country, killing over 100,000 Americans every single year? These cartels that are rounding up little girls and boys and women and selling them as sex slaves crossing the border, which, by the way, that problem in America's Southwest, the entire border with Mexico, that problem, that immigration problem, it hasn't gone away, amigo. It's still here. I'm living in the area that sees it all the time with amigos and friends and Border Patrol. That's one of the conversations I got for you coming up in just a little bit. When are the cartels in Mexico, maybe not all of them, but the ones that DPS here in Texas, the folks at DEA at the federal level, they know the cartels that are most responsible for shoveling all that poison into our country. When are those cartels going to be designated as terrorist organizations, providing our federal government and law enforcement teeth in fighting them, pushing back against this poison? The mess on the Southwest border, one of the conversations coming up later in the program. I'm Sergio Sanchez. I forgot I didn't do the reset. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show. We're broadcasting from South Texas, deep South Texas, today in the brand new studios in Mission, Texas for 710 KURV, the affiliate here in South Texas. You know, as I worked as a Republican chairman, volunteered for 4 years and worked with elections officers and election offices and the counties down here, I was educated on how the election proceeds, how the vote is gathered, how the votes are tallied, how the mail-in votes are tallied, how the questionable votes, you know, we didn't have any hanging chads around here, but how the mail-in votes with signatures that need to be verified, all those things, people that voted without ID, all those things need to be verified at a ballot board, for example. There's a lot of forensic work that can be done and was done after the 2020 election. How many people nationwide in every state in all these counties that run elections, I'm sure we can find out how many, for example, people who shouldn't vote, felons, voted. How many individuals who are registered to vote but were not 18, age 18, at the day of the vote, voted? How many people voted in two states, here and somewhere else? All those things, all that forensics could be done. Donald Trump saying that next week he's going to provide a report on election messes, election stuff. He says it's going to exonerate him, in Georgia specifically. It was razor thin. It was like 20, it was, let me see, it was like 5 million votes in the state of Georgia. And all he needed was like 11,800. That's nothing. And if you tally all the felons, people under age 18, people using P.O. boxes, people that voted past the registration date, voted in numerous, multiple states, voted out of state, changed location, changed county, used a P.O. box, all those things, I'm sure you could add up more than 11,800. I suspect that maybe that's what Donald Trump's going to talk about. And by the way, for all the defense of Donald Trump, I just say, look, we need an outsider. It could be Vivek Ramaswamy, for all I care. I mean, a successful millionaire, businessman with fresh ideas, outside the box thinking, wanting to drain the swamp as well. But nothing is going to change unless we truly drain the swamp. So the problem that we face in this generation, and I hope and pray someday for the sake of our nation and our kids and grandkids, we can change things up. I'm going to share a conversation with you with strategist Phil Fadeau. Some Republican lawmakers up in D.C. plowing forward, continuing an investigation, trying to find out how Joe Biden and family, how they enriched themselves to the tune of millions upon millions of dollars over the years. What industry, what business were they in? Republicans, they say, it was influence peddling. It was bribery. It could be Kazakhstan, Russia, Ukraine, China, you name it. Okay, so they're working on getting the goods and connecting to the big guy, as the laptop from hell, Hunter Biden's laptop, was pointing to in some of those messages. Flip Padone is a Republican strategist, my guest. What do you think, Flip? I mean, it's very interesting. You know, 20-some-odd million dollars, all these countries, the perception of bribery and influence peddling, and maybe someday soon the overlaying of Joe Biden conversations, Hunter Biden conversations, certain countries and meetings, and then deposits afterwards. What's it going to take to finally wake up the leftist media on this? And maybe they can do a little bit of digging as well in confirmation that the big guy is Joe Biden.
Yeah, that'd be nice to see some digging by the investigative journalists out there. It's supposed to be what they do. Of course, we saw Peter Ducey do a little bit of digging, with one of the rare opportunities of a journalist getting to voice a question directly to the big guy, only to be shouted down as asking a lousy question. As you say, influence peddling, there's some reasonable debate, I guess, to be had in terms of what was really peddled. Was there influence? Were there different policy decisions made? But it seems like at the very least here, you got something like $20 million from China, Kazakhstan, Russia, Ukraine, wherever, flowing to the various, Hunter and the other satellite Bidens. So even if you take it as a given that none went to Joe, that Joe didn't even know about these payments, that he never discussed business on the phone with any of the Hunter associates, still we know that these phone calls were discussing the weather, whatever else. There were private dinners in Washington, D.C., both before and after some of these seven-figure payments. So this is influence peddling. I mean, even if they want to say that, well, there was a quid, there was never a quo, right? Or Joe didn't even know about the quid. This was simply Hunter falsely trying to sell access and proximity to his vice presidential father. That's bad enough. I mean, yes, it's by degree less bad than if Joe was actually, setting policy based on these wire transfers. It's less bad than if Joe knew about it or actually participated in it, rather than just being a sap that his son was putting on the phone to say hello to someone and he had no idea why. Mm-hmm. But these are degrees of bad. Even the lowest, most generous, most innocent explanation is very, very bad and requires not only thorough accountability, but, you know, as you were suggesting, hopefully a little bit more curiosity from the mainstream media.
Yeah. What does it say, though, how everything is set up in D.C.? This is nothing new. And Joe Biden and family, an example of how for decades, lawmakers, for decades, they have been enriching themselves. See, they're in the mouth of the beast. They're in the middle of all the action where they know regulatory actions are coming. They know new laws are coming. They knew where the contracts are coming with the different agencies. And just one quick phone call or dinner conversation, a little bit of pillow talk, and there you go. You got uncle and cousins and brothers out there enriching themselves. I mean, you can point to Nancy Pelosi, millions of dollars that they've made, her husband, her family, her kids. They're in the middle of where all the action is, and they've tried and maybe successfully have done everything by the book, right? But create the multiple layers of LLCs, create the enough distance between the lawmaker and the family. So the family is blessed and enriched by all the business inside information, right, where you can never prove who told whom what, and found out about all the different contracts and regulations that were coming. That's the way things are done in D.C., and we want that to change.
No, that's right. And as you said, it's by the book. It's just that the book itself is rotten and corrupt. You talk about and the Pelosi example. She has a sort of a different playbook in terms of, you know, she's gotten fabulously wealthy off of some very fortuitous stock trades over the decade that she spent, you know, atop the pillars of power in Washington. And yet the book allows it, right? They once in a while will introduce things, the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act, but then they have all these little carve-outs for themselves, so it's entirely toothless. And the most recent suggestion is, well, they should have a penalty of something like, you know, $100,000 a year if you're found to be trading on on knowledge, insider knowledge, but by virtue of your position as a congressman. What a fantastically cheap license fee to trade on congressional knowledge. 100 grand, 300, a million, whatever. It's ticket to limitless riches if you're then basically allowed to just pay this fine and then trade on this spectacularly valuable insider information about what bills are going to pass, what regulations are going to be implemented. So again, it's a little further afield from the kind of peddling that we're talking about on the Biden end, but it's all cut from the same cloth of
and they're not the only ones. This goes across lots of lawmakers, Democrats and Republicans.
Absolutely.
Through the years and decades, they've been giving me this, because it's amazing how many millionaires Washington has created, these lawmakers, policymakers.
Right.
And it's not the K Street gig that they got afterwards. It was as lawmakers, somehow they got all these houses, all these vehicles, all these properties, vacation homes. How the hell did that happen? Well, they got the inside information.
Yeah, political it's nice work if you can get it.
Yeah, 10-4. Political strategist Flip Padeau with American Civics Exchange joining us right now. There's one quid pro quo that does stand out, and that's Joe Biden himself saying, yeah, well, I was withholding $1 billion in aid for Ukraine. I got the prosecutor fired at the same time when his son is over at the board at Burisma getting, how many millions of dollars on salary for not knowing anything about petroleum, natural
million
energy.
Bucks a year.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the one that really sticks out as a sore thumb. I think that's the low-hanging fruit that lawmakers, Republicans, investigate. That's the one that they need to cling on to and see if they can make a connection between the event that Joe Biden, he's the one who created that fire, who meddled in this. Donald Trump was impeached by the Democrats for way less than what Joe Biden admitted to in public to everybody that he got it done.
Yeah, you may be right. Not only admitted to, but bragged about in that sort of Biden blustery way. The son of a bitch, they got him fired.
Yeah.
All I had to do was make my my nine-figure threat of withdrawing this aid, and this guy was pulled off the job. Look how powerful I am on my way to the tarmac and getting things done in Ukraine. So just in terms of the visceral, tangible nature of being able to hear and see him, you know, swinging his weight around on that one, you may be right. It makes it a little more palpable for general public audience.
What did Barack Obama say about this dude? Never underestimate Joe Biden's talent to bloop things up. And that might be the one that eventually gets him. All right, Flip, pleasure speaking with you. You take care. From American Civics Exchange, Flip Padeau. Got about 10 minutes left in this hour. You're in tune with The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash.
Every day we hear about another familiar brand undermining their customers and going, quote, woke. Americans are sick and tired of having far-left propaganda jammed into every product they consume. And for years, they've dumped millions into far-left causes, and everybody had to kind of take it because you needed a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative. Well, there is, and that's Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the far-left propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responders. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code DANA and ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Broadcasting from South Texas. Hey, we're still in Texas. Dana's in North Texas. I'm in South Texas. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. So stick around. Got lots of information. Interesting stuff. I know that you, as an information hound, you want to catch up to. You know, the illegal immigrant problem, it hasn't ended. It hasn't stopped. It's just as bad as before, if not worse now, because now Joe Biden has created a, air quotes now, hard air quotes, a legal path for individuals to cross illegally, stand in line over the asylum thing. Just game the asylum thing. And I've got some thoughts I want to share with Chris Cavadetta from my Border Patrol buddy. That's coming up later in the show. And if you missed one of the big headlines in business news, Nielsen, you know the ratings people, they say there's a generational shift in TV watching, and history has been made. For the first time ever in television history, traditional TV, you know, your favorite local TV channels, and plus cable and the satellite stuff that you buy. Traditional TV is getting killed, literally getting killed by streaming television, you know, the internet-based television. So I spoke with a marketing pro about this, someone who, was responsible for the Avocados from Mexico campaign. So she kind of knows her stuff when it comes to marketing. I think I've got the solution for traditional television, for the traditional networks, for the cables. I think I've got the solution. I'll share that with you later in the show. Man, I really appreciate you tuning in today. By the way, today's the 46th anniversary of Elvis's death, if indeed he did die, right? You want to say hello online? I welcome you via X or Twitter, whatever Elon Musk is calling it these days, at Sergio Talk. We're broadcasting from South Texas. You're in tune to The Dana Show.
Caltech invented the concealed carry category years ago with the P11, but did they stop there? Heck no. One innovation just led to another and another, and, well, just look at their latest, the P15. It's the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market at only 14 ounces and 7/8 inches wide. The P15 has a 4-inch barrel and double-stack magazine that holds 15+1 total capacity. Its gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for ambidextrous grip safety and easy, accurate handling. If you prefer a more vintage look, choose the metal version with classic wood panels and textured grips. The P15 has a Tritium Plus fiber optic front sight with a fully adjustable Tritium 2-dot rear to keep you on target in any situation. Make the P15 your choice for concealed carry. Learn more at KeltechWeapons.com. Sign up for the Keltech Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories at KeltechWeapons.com. That's KeltechWeapons.com.
The Financial Times, The Wall Street Journal started calling my plan, not initially as a compliment, Bidenomics. But guess what, folks? They're talking about it differently now. It's working. It's working. I'm serious.
Oh, my goodness. I guess they're applauding at the punchline, right? That was a joke, right? My goodness. Hour two of the Dana Show. We're broadcasting from South Texas, from the KURV studio in, hey, our new studio in Mission, Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. It's an honor to join you today. Wow. I mean, this dude's totally disconnected. He's just phoning it in right now. There ain't nothing there between those ears. And you know what's so sad is Karine Jean-Pierre. That staffer and other people probably just as dense as Joe Biden. And what's even more scary is looking at some of this polling data. Man, we got a lot of really, I don't want to be insulting a fellow Americans, but we got a lot of dumb people in this country. to tell you at this moment, with inflation the way things are, with confidence in the economy as low as it is, with prices for gas and food and rent, you know, there was, let me see if I can find it here. Here it is. According to a new report from the Wall Street Journal, the number of homeless Americans has surged this year by 11%. To put all this in perspective, since the federal government began tracking homeless figures back in 2007, the highest annual increase has been 2.7%. Amigo, why is that? Why is that we are seeing like Elon Musk SpaceX rocket launching into space? We're seeing the homelessness number rise almost, I could say, exponentially, because if on average 2.7% was the annual increase in homelessness, and it's now at 11% and likely increasing, it's people can't afford rent. They can't afford their mortgages. They're not making enough money to keep up with the price of fuel, the price of repairing their vehicle, the price of paying for their vehicle, the price of food, everything else. It's very expensive now. And we were talking about this the other day. Unless you recently received a 20% increase in your pay, you're in the red compared to just 24 months ago, just 2 years ago. You are in the red. And that would be, I would say that's the overwhelming majority of the American public. Unless you received a 20% increase in your pay, and I really doubt that we've seen even a significant percentage of the population get that much. For the exception, of course, some union workers in American Airlines, they got like a 33% increase for their pilots. We're all in the red. We're paying more. It's like every single month, what was it? I think it was Moody's. It came out the other day. $700 per month now for the average American household. The average American household is making about $55,000 bucks a year. So that average household is paying about $700 more per month multiplied times 12. That's $8,400 that we're paying more now than we did 2 years ago. Amigo, that is Bidenomics. That is why all this is a joke. Cut 14, Stilo, an apology from a Democrat. You probably recognize his raspy voice. Go ahead, Steve. 14, yeah. Yeah. Senator John Kennedy. Oh, pardon. I'm sorry.
Through it.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Go ahead and play it.
Through it. Amen. I'm also sorry that the American people are going through through Bidenomics. Bidenomics is pretty simple. It's just bigger government, more spending, and higher prices.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, at least in Louisiana, inflation is gutting my people like a fish. My people are getting really good at barely getting by. And in America, you shouldn't have to take an early distribution from your retirement account or sell blood plasma in order to go to the grocery store.
That's right. That's another potential stream. I've often driven by those plasma people saying, well, that's a $40, $50. Oh, why not? Maybe I can buy like a Lego set for my kid. No, but it really is sad. Sorry, Steve. I saw Kennedy. I assumed it was Robert F. out there, which, by the way, reminds me, Democrats need a lot more people running on their side for the primary. Democrats, you're a proud Democrat. You say you're a proud American. You need to nudge someone to get in there and run on the Democrat side. Try to save. I don't know if you could actually save your party, because, man, the advocacy, the platform is just crazy leftist. Forget socialist. Man, you get quasi-communist and all these radical changes in society that you're apologizing and advocating for, all this indoctrination, all this craziness that we've never seen before. My goodness. Well, we need more people, though. We do need somebody to push back. We need somebody to provide some ideas on the Democrats. But that was Senator John Kennedy on Bidenomics, expensive for everyone else. Gas prices are going up right now. This is, you know, Dana's talked about this. Everybody's talked, anybody with any brains talked about this for the longest time. We have the supply. We have the energy. This administration refuses to get the natural gas, refuses to get the petrol necessary in order to reduce the price of fuel to everybody on a budget every single month. And eventually, we pay more at the grocery store, at all stores, because diesel is expensive as well, the delivery to market. Food inflation is coming back. There's predictions of, you know, protein still getting more expensive near future. The price of rent, as I mentioned. Homelessness up double digits for the first time. That they've been tracking this number for the longest time. Senator John Kennedy made reference to people dipping into their retirement savings. We are seeing a scary trend for that. People in polling data nationwide, despite what you would think would be strong economic data on sales, retail sales, strong economic data on job creation or job availability. It's a contradiction. People are desperate to continue their lifestyle, but can't, which leads to another crazy statistic from a few days back. We crossed the $1 trillion mark when it comes to credit card spending in this country. This is an economic bubble that at some point you think is going to pop. And that's officially much delayed. This economic slowdown, this recession, might become a rally if at some point people stop spending or can't spend anymore or have to go into bankruptcy. Defaults on people paying their credit card debt, defaults are people paying, for example, their car payments, is now higher than pre-pandemic levels. The economic data coming in is not good, and it shows up in data, in polling data. People are not expressing what you would think would be confidence in the economy based on sales, based on jobs. No, people know it's more expensive now. People know they're having to pay a lot more now than they did way back then. Coming up later this hour, I'm going to share with you the continuing problem that, you know, update on the continuing problem that Washington refuses to take care of, which is the Southwest border. Illegal immigration still an issue, and do you think that maybe this, after, what was it, the title, you know, 42, whatever that thing was, that expected surge and flood of illegal immigrants across the border, it really did not materialize. It seemed like it materialized beforehand, and people are still waiting south of the border. It disappeared, right? The illegal immigrant problem. The issue disappeared from the headlines, conveniently. And this has happened over and over. It's cyclical. Oh, but it popped up just a few days ago, didn't it? When a three-year-old girl traveling from here, from this part of Texas, deep south Texas, Brownsville specifically, took a charter bus, and this charter bus system, this transportation system that Governor Greg Abbott trying to do something to secure the U.S.-Mexico border, at least the Texas-Mexico border, he created this bus system where illegal immigrants, and I'm going to still call them that, despite the fact that Joe Biden and company, they've created this asylum system where they could do an app and be released into the general population and get in line at the asylum court request for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Just get in line. And get, and by the way, get a job 6 months after they show up because they're in line for their asylum hearing. Well, they're still coming. It's just they're moving the numbers around. Instead of encountering 150,000 illegals at Riverside on the Texas side of the river, now you got several tens of thousands of them using the app coming in saying, we're going to stand in line, the virtual line for asylum in this country. So this bus system, thank God for Governor Greg Abbott. I don't know if this was his idea or somebody suggested it to him. But busing illegal immigrants, and that's what they are because they're economic migrants. They're entering this country under an asylum system that is not going technically is not going to afford them a permanent stay. But because they're going to grow roots the next 4 or 5 years, waiting in line, have children, buy homes, get jobs after six months after they arrive, you know where all this is going. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're going to come into this country, you're not going to stay in Texas. You're gaming the system. You're using, you're crossing the border illegally. Go to sanctuary cities. Go to Chicago. Go to D.C. Go to New York. Go to La La Land. Hollywood. Go to Los Angeles. Go to L.A. They claim they did the virtual signaling. They were more pious than Texas. They said they take care of illegal immigrants. Fine. Take care of them. Oh, no. But because the left gets all upset and bent out of shape, the ogre here is Greg Abbott. Not the country of origin that failed these people. Not the parents who go through 108, 110 degree heat across all of Mexico. Because they come to us from Central America, across dangerous terrain, are subjected to cartel violence and abuse and extortion, and travel many times walking, Lord knows for how many days, in this dangerous heat with a three-year-old baby. We don't know to this day what happened to this child. The loss of this child is heartbreaking. It's just awful. It happens every day, amigo. But because this one little baby, this three-year-old, died in a Greg Abbott bus, oh, now the issue of illegal immigration, which isn't even positioned like that anymore, illegal immigration, uncontrolled migration, the flood of humanity crossing the Texas-U.S.-Mexican border. It's not positionally, oh, no, it's the death of a three-year-old child on a Greg Abbott bus, migrant bus. It's sickening. It's beyond disappointing. But that's our national media. You and I are familiar with how they play that game. The issue that needs to be solved by lawmakers up in D.C., the issue that's being abused by this Biden administration to allow it, just this continuous open door to all these people that just want to come in and game the system. None of that is examined, but it only pops up because they get a chance to throw a rock at Greg Abbott, throw a rock at Texas, and point him as the ogre, the enemy. It's pathetic. Anyway, the conversation about this coming up with my friend Chris Cabrera from Border Patrol, that's later on this hour. I'm Sergio Sanchez, 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show, broadcasting from South Texas.
If you had to take care of some lefty trying to outsmart you in the Walmart parking lot and missed any portion of today's show, download the latest Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. And for me, absolutely, it's going to be the Gualmart, as we call it right now, the Gualmart parking lot. You won't be catching me at a Target. No, sadly, they did a deal with the devil. Like, literally, they were selling some devil worshiping inspired jewelry. I don't know what the hell. All that little nip tuck, little underwear, swimsuit stuff. That was what did it for me and Mama and our family. I used to love walking around Target after Friday night dinner, just walk it off and go find some. No, we haven't been back since. What was that, like May? April, May? To this day, we haven't gone back. Actually, I lied. We went back once. Mama went back to return some bottles of stuff and got some just she needed and said, that's it. We kissed the goodbye. So, yeah, stay tuned to the Dana Show. Get the information you need day to day. I'm Sergio Sanchez. And for my friend Dana Lash, we're reporting to you from South Texas. Let's do some headlines, Steve-O.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Good news if you're using Amazon and you have the diabetes, as Dana says. Amazon's online pharmacy automatically going to apply manufacturer coupons to more than 15 insulin and diabetes medicines, stuff from Novo Nordisk, Eli Lilly, Sanofi. If there's a coupon for that diabetes stuff, they'll apply it. That would save you money over at Amazon. What once was TweetDeck is now subscriber only. Gonna set you back $84. I wonder how they settled on that. Not 80, not 85, not 83, and $84 set you back on that. So this Twitter application allows you to see the timelines and the latest tweets of several accounts at the same time. So there you go. $84 a year if you want that. Oh, and you also need to do the annual blue checkmark thing, which is like $8 a month. Illegal immigration, the problem persists. It only comes back when it's convenient for the left to blame conservatives. That's coming up later in the show on The Dana Show. Thanks for joining us. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
This is a ridiculous application of the racketeering statute. There's probably no one that knows it better than I do, probably some that know it as well. I was the first one to use it in white collar cases. But in major cases like the Boesky case and the Milken case, this is not meant for election disputes. I mean, this is ridiculous what she's doing. Yeah. Also, I don't know if she realizes it because she seems like a pretty incompetent, sloppy prosecutor. I mean, what she did yesterday with that indictment is inexcusable. If she worked for me, I'd have fired her.
Yeah, politically motivated, I believe, are the words, Rudy. That's America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, former federal prosecutor. Yes, and he went after the mafiosos. He went after organized crime when he was a federal prosecutor. And all this, this Georgia case, this laughable case out of Georgia, but it's dangerous, too. That's what's so concerning about this. Look, it's the state of Georgia. It's this prosecutor. She has the power. She was elected by, obviously, as is repeated nationwide. The same could be said about Alvin, nothing to brag about up in New York, another state case going after Donald Trump. They hate him so much. They have twisted and bent. They're going through all these prosecutorial contortions to get him, get Donald Trump, get rid of him, throw him in jail, throw away the key. And the hate in these people, it's at times laughable, but it's real concerning because it is dangerous. Imagine a situation where Donald Trump is convicted in the state of Georgia. Donald Trump and subordinates, including Rudy Giuliani and other attorneys and other staffers, 19 of them, convicted for trying to overturn the election, where in reality, and again, I'm telling you from my personal experience being in the trenches of elections, being a chairman for the GOP down in my neck of the woods, working with elections offices, working with the Secretary of State's office, where if something like this, using the legal tools, the legal methods at a candidate's disposal, where, what I fear is where we're going is, if in the world of, in Georgia, prosecuting Donald Trump and associates for questioning, denying the results of the election, questioning some of the individuals that illegally may have voted, by the thousands may have voted in the state. And again, you do the forensics at any election, and you can do forensics at elections office. You can, and I think they've discovered, and this is what I think Donald Trump is going to convey next week, early next week in New Jersey, probably come out with a full report that now they've had about 3 years to examine how many people should not have voted in the state of Georgia, how many felons should not have voted, how many people were not of age to vote but were registered and thought they were going to be at age to vote in that state, people who maybe didn't even register at all, people who used incorrect address for P.O. box, things like that, or maybe they voted, they were found to have voted in multiple states, they moved, things like that. They can do the forensics. All states can do forensics on that. And in a race that was the difference of close to 5 million votes in the state of Georgia, 5 million, wrap your head around that, the difference was 11,700 and change. And you got the potential, numbering in the tens of thousands of individuals that potentially may have been illegal votes. There's a problem there. And a petition to the Secretary of State, a petition to the governor in Georgia. Hey, give me a chance here. We need to examine this at your state legislature. Maybe put the alternative set of electors in to declare this election null and void and false and send the alternate electors, not illegal set of electors, alternate electors, send them to Washington to vote. Anyway, these are all the legal means. Now, what? Are we going to, in the future, are we going to say any candidate that calls for a recount, that's a crime? That any candidate that, for example, will demand that the ballot board that goes back and examines mail-in vote, that that demands through court edict that every single vote that came, no matter what happened with the signature, no matter the condition the envelope was in, doesn't matter, that every single questionable vote that is being decided by a ballot board, that all of it be counted, because they know they're going to get the benefit from that. Anyone who questions anything like that, they're criminals now. This is why it is so ridiculous. You're supposed to go after gangsters. You're supposed to go after criminals. You're supposed to go after cartels with the RICO statute. It's beyond laughable, but it's dangerous, amigo. I hope and pray that in Georgia and in New York, they fail miserably in court at just the right time. What would it be, like May, April, May of next year, when these cases are supposed to, you know, if they force it, go to court? It's all a distraction. The witch hunt, says Donald Trump, calls all a distraction. This meddling, election meddling, an effort to distract us from our troubles in America. Or it could be Biden's troubles right now, the allegations of bribery and all that. Yeah, distract from that. Just focus on Donald Trump. Let's stack another indictment on time. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by all this lack of news from the border. The problem is still here on the border, and that's why I'm reporting to you. The Dana Show, broadcasting from the U.S.-Mexican border again, here from Mission, Texas today. And despite the lack of news from the border, the problem is still here. Going to share a conversation with you now with my friend Chris Cabrera from Border Patrol. Chris Cabrera is with the Border Patrol Union, and I bring him on the show because we've been hearing of late that in the Southwest there's been a new influx of illegal immigrants. Chris, welcome back to the program. Let's start in the Southwest, because I saw Bill Malugin. He was making reference to all, you know, from Fox, he was making reference to all the increase of traffic in the Southwest a few days back. How bad is it? Why is it over there where it's so dangerous?
Well, you know, it's spreading. You know, I know Tucson has picked up quite a bit, which lately hasn't really been a hot spot out there. So Tucson's picked up quite a bit. RGV has picked up. We're also, Brownsville is getting hit pretty bad right now as well.
So give me some numbers and do some comparisons. We kind of grown callous to these reports of all these hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people.
RGV as a whole, we're topping 1,000 now. Sometimes daily we're topping 1,000. You know, maybe a month or so ago, 300-400 RGV wide, and now we're topping 1,000. So it's jumped considerably.
A few days ago, there was a court decision that told the Biden administration that they could not deny the asylum request at the border for individuals who had not sought a third country, an asylum, or another country as an asylum. Did that change the volume of people coming in?
No, I believe it did. You know, anytime we hit the news, anytime something on the border hits the news, it creates a little spike, kind of like something like a stock market. So, you know, anytime there's any type of border news, people will rush the border. And then you also have the way the cartel is selling it to people, what they're telling people that it means, even though it's not necessarily correct, they're going to believe what they're hearing from these folks, because, you know, you hear what you want to hear. And when somebody's telling you what you want to hear, that's what you go for.
Well, the cartels, were they responsible for that rush at that local bridge a few days back in Brownsville and people rushing thinking that the border was going to open up again for all asylum seekers?
Yeah, of course, you know, them and we know there and in El Paso, you know, they tell folks, hey, this is what's happening, they'll let you in, and a lot of times it's just a ploy. They get everybody looking one way, and then next thing you know, they're moving drugs and other people across the border, you know, 5-6 miles down the road.
I was making reference to this 3-year-old child that died on the bus that made it all the way to Illinois from Texas, part of this busing program in the state of Texas that has been put in place by Governor Abbott. But if it's not that bus, it could have been a plane to Houston paid for by an NGO. Could have been a bus paid for by an NGO to San Antonio or some other place. It just happened to be that bus. And there is no mention in leftist media how many thousands of children and people die during their trek across Mexico, their dangerous trek across Mexico, across the Americas, to make it all the way here. No reference whatsoever to how deadly it is to deal with the cartels, to be a mule for the cartels, to deny, to tell the cartels no, and to be captured for ransom. No mention of that. Just a constant drumbeat, constant, nonstop, Greg Abbott is busing program. Greg Abbott is busing program. Trying to pin the blame on Greg Abbott while, again, it's the failed policies of the federal government, Joe Biden, that created this mess.
It's a damn shame that some of the media act this way. It's sad that the child passed away. It is. But it's not really the bus driver's fault. It's not the bus's fault. It's not, it just happened, And if it happened on American Airlines, would they be screaming at American Airlines? No. Would they be screaming at whoever bought the ticket? No. But it's just a convenient target. And you're right. We see a lot of bad things out there, and that's just what we see on our side of the river. Who knows how many of these children don't make it along this journey. I know our EMTs, our local medics have been just crazy busy down there treating kids for dehydration and different things. I mean, it's an hourly occurrence down there, but nobody's complaining about that because it doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah, Chris Cabrera with the Border Patrol Union. Still, he and colleagues working the front lines of response to illegal immigration, even children being abandoned in the wilderness. Little kids crossed by the cartel. They got their money, but they abandoned these children in ranch land down here. And thank God for Border Patrol. Thank God for Borstar. And some of your colleagues says, if it had not been for them, somebody would be finding these little babies dead here in ranch land in South Texas. That never gets enough attention by me. It's beyond frustrating, and I don't know if our nation wants a solution for this, because frankly, north of us, north of the Border Patrol checkpoint, Midwest, Northeast, people are being kept in the dark by complicit media.
Yeah, and it's sad to think that way, but I mean, I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think there's some people that don't want to fix this, some people in government that don't want to fix it, because if it was a big enough problem, I mean, if this was a tax loophole, they would have fixed this years ago. but for some reason, it doesn't matter to them. So they're just going to let these folks keep dying, let these folks keep suffering. And some of them won't make the journey, but, they'll always point the finger to somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. It's somebody else's fault. No, the blame falls right there in the laps of those in Washington, D.C. That's at the end of the day, that's it. They're the ones, they're the only ones that can fix this, and they choose to turn a blind eye to it.
Are there any indications that we get more caravans and big groups coming up this way?
I'm sure there are, but I think we're still sitting on a whole mess of folks that never crossed when Title 42 ended. We had the big mass in along the border. And I think that's what we're starting to see now. People are starting to, finally just say, screw it. You know what? We're coming anyway.
Yeah, they're going to cross the river. So, they're going to swim the river instead of trying to come in through the ports of entry, through the app and all things like that.
Yeah, and we're seeing those folks coming too. I mean, just take a flight to Dallas or Houston, and you'll see a whole bunch of folks that took advantage of the parole system out there. They're gaming the system there. Well, I think the administration's gaming the system for them. So we have those coming in, and then we have the ones that are also just jumping the line and crossing the river. So I think it's going to be far worse than pre-Title 42. It's going to be worse than we expected it.
Chris, thank you for your time. Be safe out there, you and all the crew from Border Patrol working the front lines. Appreciate your time, brother.
All right, Sergio. Thanks for having me.
Since the national media was on this, this child that died and died up in Illinois in Chicago, and died, by the way, at the hospital, I need to emphasize and reemphasize, this child did not die on the bus. This child got sick on that bus that came from here in Deep South Texas, all the way up to Illinois. Violently sick, they say. Vomiting, had a fever. That child and everybody else, according to DPS, according to emergency management people that work this, the child, like everybody else, screened before the trip. But I want to know what happened, don't you? Because obviously that was the only illegal immigration story that they decided to focus on. They almost did it like wall to wall the entire weekend after this happened. And they focused on it Monday morning when we came back this week, right? I'd like to find out why. Because the ones responsible for this tragedy, the folks responsible for this, it's not Greg Abbott. It's the parents. Period. It's the parents. That long, dangerous trek. Maybe this child was severely dehydrated or malnourished as a result of this long trip that they subjected this child to this. Or maybe the child had a pre-existing condition that they hid from authorities before they boarded that bus and signed the waiver and said, yeah, we want to go to Chicago. Either way, that baby's dead. And I want the follow-up. Where is the media on this? Where's the follow-up on this? Because does it pin the blame on the parents? And you don't want that? Is that what it is? I'm Sergio Sanchez, reporting to you today from the front lines of news that is not being reported, which is the U.S.-Mexican border. Reporting to you from Texas, Mission, Texas, new studio of KURV, Dana Lash Show, faithful affiliate. Thank you for joining us. And if you want to say hello online, it's at Sergio Talk. This is The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
From WFLA TV, the title says, well, it says it all. Unhappy meal came with a side of rocks. His name is Luis Fernando Hernandez Larraga. 26-year-old dude decided to enter a Madonna's, a McDonald's, shirtless. And you know what they say? No shirt, no service. Something happened. The write-up on this doesn't explain how everything went south in the transaction. At some point, Mr. Larraga, 26-year-old shirtless at Madonna's, something went wrong and he wanted his money back. They said no. Mr. Larraga went behind the service desk. Oh, that's a no-no. You don't go into that area where the employees are. You don't go behind the counter. They told him to leave, just outright leave. Get out, dude, like leave. He wouldn't do that. He got belligerent, violent, started punching stuff, kicking stuff. He eventually went outside, got some rocks, came back inside, started throwing it all over the place on the counter. Yeah, taken into custody, this 26-year-old dude. Would you be surprised to know he has a long criminal history? Also in Missouri and in Texas. Florida, you can keep him. All these charges on intoxication, disorderly conduct, disorderly intoxication, criminal mischief, da-da-da-da-da. That's your Florida man for today. Big news in the TV business, traditional TV business. You know, your local TV stations and channels and cable and all that. They are underwater, people. Like Nielsen, the ratings people, for the first time in TV history, traditional TV viewership is now underwater, which means below less than 50% of the audience. They can count on less than 50% of the audience. Everybody else is on streaming. An idea on how to save them. Coming up next hour of The Dana Show, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
You guys will probably think that it's minor and we're making too much of it, but the idea of not saying anything until yesterday publicly, why?
Well, I would disagree with that, Phil. When I was with him in Utah and he was out there to talk about the PACT Act, as you know, an incredibly historic, important piece of legislation. When he was out there, he at the top of his remarks, he talked about what was going on in Hawaii and how we were moving forward with the federal whole of government response. So
America is not top of mind for Joe Biden. Americans are not the people that he's first concerned about. He's a global citizen, if you would, just like Barack Obama called himself a long time ago. That's the mindset of people like Joe Biden. Whatever mind he has left, his priority, and it shows in his actions, his priority is not this country. What was the first comment? And thank you, Donald Trump, for seizing this and commenting on this, criticizing Joe Biden on this. That's why we need people like Donald Trump, like Vivek Ramaswamy, people that are not beholden or owing money to any particular PAC or industry, successful business individuals who know how to keep companies in the black, make them prosperous, hire people that have no restriction on saying things the way they are. Man, that's what gets Donald Trump in trouble. But that's what we need. We need truth. We need a genuine American who thinks America first at the White House. Joe Biden has to be told what to say. I'm convinced of it. He has to be told what to say. We're running this country. Our country, I don't say we because I have nothing to do with it, neither do you. Our country is being run by committee. And I don't know who's on that committee. I suspect the chairperson might be Joe Biden, Jill. Dr. Jill Joe Biden. And a committee of other people deciding on what to say, what to do. And Joe Biden said no comment. He said no comment, right? When asked about all the mayhem, the death, the destruction the heartbreaking in Maui. He said, no comment. Really, dude? Really? My goodness. Welcome to the Dana Show, Hour 3. I'm Sergio Sanchez. An honor for me to join you today. You want to say hello online? I do the Elon Musk, formerly known as Twitter thing, the X thing, at Sergio Talk. New polling data, most Americans believe that our country should be preparing for a potential Chinese military, you know, fisticuffs. Reuters Ipsos. 2 in 3 Americans believe that our country, we need to do more to protect ourselves against China militarily. That's kind of scary to be thinking like that. And for me, it's scary to have an individual like Joe Biden. And even worse to think that about half of, if you believe the polling data, other polling data, that about half of Americans would vote for this clown to get back in there. Or this clown and his committee to get back in there and manage things and send us, you know, slow walk us into World War III with China. This dude cannot make a decision on the fly, an immediate decision, an executive decision. It is a committee, and you know how things are run by committee. You have to sit down, you got to start the meeting, you got to put all ideas on the table. It takes time to do management by committee. We need an executive at the executive office. God help us. I hope you people wake up, all of y'all. You might hate Donald Trump, but we need him. And if he's thrown in jail, and God help us, what may happen to our election process next spring or early next summer, if all these cases move forward, they convict Donald Trump, and we find ourselves wrestling like a banana republic where some law enforcement shows up to take Donald Trump into custody after being convicted, the Secret Service gets in the way. Oh, my goodness. I never thought I'd see the day. I hope and pray we never see that day in our country. We need decision-making on the fly in a second's notice, and we don't have that right now with Joe Biden. We have literally a fool who does not understand the gravity of the situation in Maui, Hawaii. Say, hey, Mr. President, what do you have to say about the no comment? Not enough was said by our complicit media on how ridiculous, how embarrassing, and really how scary. There's no computation in the mind of Joe Biden for him to properly communicate a simple message of sympathy, empathy. You know, I'm praying for, you know, how the standard saying, you know, let's pray for them. And we're, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with. No, he says no comment. Wow. You got to vote him out, people. First of all, you guys on the Democrat side, you're not going to provide him a challenge. Now that's scary. You're not going to put any more candidates to run against him. You got to get rid of him. You got to get him out. There's others who say, well, we're just waiting for the moment where he will be replaced here pretty soon, because they don't expect him to be running next year. Either way, most Americans think we should be preparing for war against China. That's the way I'm going to read this Ipsos poll. A military threat, military engagement with China. It's all probably based on what they do with Taiwan, because they see the presidential puppet that we have in Washington. This guy who can't make a decision, walking around like a robot because he's probably his diaper's full. It looks very strange. The incompetence, we've never seen this level of incompetence in the White House ever. So absolutely the worst president ever in our nation. Vivek Ramaswamy, I mentioned him, back in Iowa this past week and a few days back, he brought up, for example, issues that we're not talking about when it comes to national defense. Oh, we've got, how much money have we sent over to Ukraine? Something like $200 billion so far? And more coming. And I'm sure you've seen some of those posts on X, formerly known as Twitter. And Facebook, Instagram, people posting video, how they're in some parts of Ukraine. Now, Ukraine is a big country, and the war against Russia is only limited to certain enclaves near Russia. I get it. I understand that. But they live in prosperity in Ukraine. They have natural resources. They have fields that are full of harvest, fields that need to be harvested, full of grain, fruits, things that need to be exported, energy that needs to be exported. They are rich in Ukraine, but You know, we got $200 billion so far that's being spent in Ukraine to try to. I know there's an ancillary benefit to all this, that Vladimir Putin is being weakened. And we discovered, thankfully, because Vladimir Putin was stupid enough to attack Ukraine, we found out that that's a paper bear, paper tiger, paper bear, the Soviet bear in Russia. They're weak. They've been taken on the chin with tens of thousands of soldiers killed and maimed. It's good that that was discovered. But I think the Ukrainians and nearby neighbors who have more of a vested interest right next door, you know, all these neighbors in Europe, they are the ones who should be carrying the largest expense. The $200 billion should have come from them, is what I argue. Let me put it from a different point of view. $200 billion. What do you think our nation could do with $200 billion to provide repair or enhancement of the following issues that Vivek Ramaswamy in Iowa on the soapbox brought up this past weekend? He talked about the power grid. Now, you may laugh at this, but it's a genuine threat. You got this little cluster, this little micro-nuclear microburst. I've had plenty of people who've provided us interviews through the years, and if you're keeping up with us, you know what I'm talking about. You get a nefarious state that North Korea, for example, could launch one of these nuclear bursts, these pulse bombs, 200 miles above us in the atmosphere, pop that sucker strong enough to fry every single transformer, fry any battery across it. And you drive in a battery-powered vehicle, you got no more vehicle. Blow anything that is cell phone towers, transformers, anything electrical, just fry the whole darn thing. Throw America into deep darkness for 6 months, maybe an entire year. Can you imagine how many millions of Americans, how many family members do you have who are dependent on electricity to be there for their oxygen machine, for their different type of medical machines, for the delivery of very sensitive medicine that needs to be refrigerated, for example? How many family members do you have? I have family like that. And in deep darkness for 6 months to 12 months, no electricity whatsoever, you deal with the elements. Can you imagine how many people would die in this country as a result of that? My goodness. We have done nothing. Absolutely nothing to shield, to protect the American power grid. Have you seen anything? We've been talking about this for like two decades plus. Vivek Ramaswamy brought up, hey, of the $200 billion, how about, he didn't say this, I'm the one who's saying it. How about we take $200 billion of our grandkids' debt? Because that's what it is, $200 billion for Ukraine is our grandkids' debt. How about we take $200 billion more of our grandkids' debt, or great-grandkids' debt? Take half of that and apply it to, at warlike speed, knowing that we are under threat of annihilation as a great nation simply because we get enough microbursts, nuclear bursts in the atmosphere to fry the American power grid for an entire year and kill the millions of Americans, how about we, at warlike speed, determine billions of dollars to repair and shield all essential, critical, or set up, store some generator somewhere that would be protected and shielded so that if that happens, we take out those protected generators and fire up, fuel them up, protect the American public, the most sensitive members in our society. I'm just an idea. He's the only one. Vivek Ramaswamy is the only one talking about that. When's the last time you heard a politician say, oh, no, but we got to send more money to Ukraine, right? Cybersecurity. How long have we been talking about cybersecurity? You got some North Korean starving nerds. You got some radical mullah, you know, I'm not going to say anything more about their religion, but, you know, in Iran. They're loyal to the mullahs. You get some nerds in Iran that want their expression of government to succeed worldwide and kill the great Satan and Israel. You got kids in Iran. You got kids in North Korea. You got, what was that commercial? What did she say? That was a telemarketer. Oh, hello, this is Peggy, right? Guys from Russia want to hack our computer system, corporate, hospitals, water systems, and even defense. We're vulnerable when it comes to hacking We need more cybersecurity. How about a portion of the billions of dollars that we send over to Ukraine to protect us when it comes to cybersecurity? How about nuclear defense? I was explaining the other day to my 16-year-old son, Star Wars, Ronald Reagan. So we were blessed this summer. I took my boys, took my family. Daly and I took our boys to the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley. Oh, if you haven't been there, you need to go, amigo. I was holding back. Seriously, I get emotional. I was holding back the tears because room after room after room, you see the evolution. You see a strong America, the evolution of Ronald Reagan's foreign policy and the successes, the killing of the Soviet bear, the destruction of the Eastern Bloc. You see all of that standing up against the radicals, the initial radicals that were trying to destroy Israel, standing up against Iran. All that, you see room after room after room. And I was explaining to my son, look, Star Wars, that we call the Star Wars back then, scared the Soviets into spending themselves to death to protect themselves against America, because we were going to develop a space-based station or stations to shoot down any and all nuclear bombs headed this way from Russia. The nuclear threat is still there from China. The nuclear threat is still there from Russia, from Vladimir Putin. Where the hell is Star Wars? How about take a few bit? We have a military branch. Space Force, right? Give it to them. Send the satellites up there. Shoot down those nukes coming to it. No one's talking about this. That's why we need an America First-minded candidate. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're in tune with The Dana Show. You want to say hello online on Twitter? It's at Sergio Talk.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Never mind the pumpkin spice season. It's already holiday season at some retailers. The Home Depot, Costco, other big retailers, yeah, they got the Christmas stuff out already. A tropical system might develop in the Gulf of Mexico, head towards Texas early next week. And you weather nerds may want to watch that. That might be the first U.S. landfall for the season. And for the first time ever in television history, traditional TV, your favorite local TV channel and cable, you know, just the way we all used to watch TV compared to the streaming now. For the first time ever, they are now underwater. Traditional television, according to Nielsen, is only 49.6% combined, cable and regular antenna, digital antenna TV. On the other hand, streaming is gaining. They're climbing quickly, up 25% streaming viewing over the past year alone. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Abolish the IRS. National reciprocity. She could go on forever, but she's only allowed 3 hours of the day on air to talk to you. Download the Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform to take us with you wherever you go. The Dana Show.
I think one has a responsibility to do it. What specifically are you referring to? Is it the notion that if you reference someone being gay, that somehow that's sexualizing our kids? Is that the case with straight people as well? I mean, if you're straight, is that sexualizing? It's rather perverse that I offer that as a rhetorical question, because you go, of course not. So by definition, I don't know what it is they're asserting. It's Orwellian, doublespeak. Or it's just so profoundly ignorant that they've been ginned up by outside agitators, which I think perhaps is a combination of this. And I'm deeply empathetic.
That's Governor Gavin Goodhair. Gavin Newsom out of California, if you don't recognize his voice, you might want to start getting used to it. I think this dude, you're going to see a lot more of him pretty soon. I'm in the camp that says Joe Biden doesn't make it to November 2024. You're going to see this dude fighting for the White House. He doesn't get the fact that our kids are our kids. Obviously, he thinks that part of the curriculum for our children, elementary school, young kids, you know, the ones that believe that, you know, boys have cooties, girls have cooties, you know, if it's the opposite sex. He wants the personal lives, sexual lives, the personal choices, the, you know, same-sex choices or multiple partner choice. I mean, that issue has nothing to do with curriculum at school. Governor Goodhair Newsom. I think he suffered. He has nice hair because he probably uses a lot of chemicals on his hair. He's probably killing brain cells when he does it. They just don't get it on the left. This is what gets them in trouble. And what I love is the fact that they don't change. They don't get it. They don't learn. And they will continue down that path, thinking that your children belong to them and they need to be inculcated, indoctrinated with leftist ideology that they need to learn at a very young age, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, little kids, never talk about sex. They need to learn about gay sex. They need to learn about same-sex partners. They need to learn, I don't know, maybe that the high school, the little elementary school teacher, you know, is on her third marriage. The same thing with her elementary school coach is on his fourth marriage. Multiple partners, multiple wives, that has nothing to. Children need to go to school and learn how to read and how to write and do math and all this. Especially now post COVID, we're still trying to catch up on the academic side. And no, they don't belong to the state. They don't belong to the school district. They don't belong to the community. They don't belong to the village. They belong to mom and dad. And mom and dad need to do a better job of bringing up these kids for their sake and our country's sake. There was a fundamental change that's taking place in television. I got a guest coming up talking about how streaming is the end thing now. It's not going away. It's going to be the main way for us to consume video. Traditional TV is now in trouble. They know they've been in trouble for a while, but I'll delve more into that in just a little bit and share one idea that I think might be one of the solutions for the future of local television. And I'm just going to focus on local TV, cable and satellite and all that. A la carte television is the way to go, and that's where we're going on the streaming side. That's the reason cable and satellite, they will likely disappear. Local TV, I do not believe they should ever disappear. There's a new survey of the Rio Grande River. You guys have heard, right, I didn't reset. I'm sorry. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm broadcasting to you from deep South Texas. I'm still on blessed soil in Texas. Dana's in North Texas. I'm in South Texas. I appreciate you tuning in. You guys did hear of the river border wall. There are these border balls. They look like dodgeballs. They're chained together 1,000 feet. Well, Mexico has a problem with it. And there was a new survey done by a group called the International Boundary Water Commission, IBWC. I'm familiar with them because they're the ones who manage the water delivery from Mexico as far as we share the water with Mexico here in Texas. We share that water. And the U.S., you know, there's other treaties on the Colorado River water with Mexico, things like that. I'm not going to get too deep into that. This IBWC, they're one of the agencies providing reports to the Biden Justice Department, because Biden Justice Department is suing Governor Greg Abbott. Governor Greg Abbott put these border balls on the river near Del Rio, Texas, 1,000 feet, to stop the flow of illegal aliens and drug cartels sending all their poisoning into this country. And it works. It works. Oh, no, Mexico ain't going to have any of that. They've been complaining and whining about this. They say it goes into Mexican territory, that it encroaches on the Mexican side. I tell you who's encroaching whom. The Mexican cartels, the Mexican criminals, sending via boat, via little dinghy, via any floating device. They're constantly crossing the river, sending boats full of drugs, boats full of human sex slaves, sending them to our side. Who's encroaching on whom? And this IBWC organization should be concentrating on something you probably never heard about, the Mexican water debt. Mexico's supposed to deliver a certain amount of water to Texas. They're 2 years behind. They're always behind. Mexico is always behind on their treaty when it comes to delivering what they're obligated to deliver, water for Texas farmers. We take billions of losses in Texas when it comes to farming because Mexico never delivers its water. All right. More on the generational shift that's taking place in television. Nielsen says traditional TV is underwater. It now represents less than 50% of viewership. Streaming grew 25% last year. Traditional TV went down 5%. Let me share with you a conversation with an expert in marketing who's been looking at this for a while, Yvonne Kisner. Results of a new survey from marketing firm InMobi. They pulled 1,000 U.S. customers. They found a massive generational divide when it comes to TV consumption. Now, there's the traditional TV, the local news, and I call them the dinosaur networks, ABC, CBS, all that, cable and dish. And then there's the new TV, which is, in essence, your smartphone. You got YouTube and other things like that. It looks like the Generation Z, our kids, our teenagers and preteens, they have developed a new way to consume video and television. Standard television to them is foreign. They don't consume television. Yvonne Kisner is watching this marketing evolution, this media evolution. Do you think that this might be a death knell to local television, Yvonne?
So I definitely think that the television, traditional television, need to reinvent itself, or is going to lose consumers like massively. Right now, for example, we have, that I can count, over 20 streaming companies, including Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Disney, HBO, Apple, Peacock, you name it. We can be here counting for a long time. And not only they are competing among themselves, and it's a very fractionate space where consumers really don't pay that much attention to what is a streaming company, to what is the content they want to watch. So if you add that, what you were telling about Gen Z is that they not even prefer those streaming companies. They are going for user-generated content. Mm-hmm. Their celebrities are the content creators in YouTube and TikTok. And so we have a very, very complex situation for marketers and for anyone involved in that ecosystem.
Yeah, this is passive entertainment for them. And even my boys, my teenager, he'll mention some influencer or superstar. I've never heard of some guy out there with millions of dollars because he's generating online business and he's giving away homes, giving away cars. And he asked me about a production company and all this user-generated content that is everywhere. That's the information they get. But see, the strength of television, if done right, is local information. Somehow, when Gen Z will need local information from City Hall, from breaking news, breaking weather reports, they will eventually need to gravitate to the local TV station, that product, for their benefit, for their consumption. I would think that local TV, if they properly take the lifeboat online, they will be there on YouTube. They will be there on the internet channels for Gen Z, a more mature Gen Z, to consume.
Definitely. They must reinvent themselves, or they are going to eventually disappear. And if we look at the Generation Z, the oldest is 24 years old right now, and the youngest is 9 years old. But the oldest is getting into a bracket that is very interesting for marketers and brands, especially CPG companies. And if they don't evolve quickly, they are going to lose the advertisers' money, and they are going to lose the attention of that generation. But if you look at that generation, it was the first generation that was really born after the iPhone was created. So it's the first really digital native generation, and they grew up by having the choice to select what they want to consume actively. They can go in seconds and find exactly what they want to consume, instead of searching through and flipping through channels like older generations were used to do. And consumption habits are formed really at those early ages. So that's how they know how to consume content. And they are not going to change. The newest generations are going to adapt to whatever is the new evolution of that media. And so is the companies, the traditional companies, content companies, that needs to evolve to adapt to these new trends and new consumption habits of this demographic.
I would say take a look at the professionals today, the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds, the 50-year-olds. Yes, they consume in large quantities online media, but they also expect the traditional media to be there. See what works for them. Likely that's going to work for Gen Z as well. Gen Z will at some point need to wake up and start consuming local information that is relevant to their pocketbook and their health. And I suppose they could take the metrics from the present professionals that are consuming all media and maybe apply it to them.
Yes, so I see the traditional media having both. They have to create products, and they have to branch out to create options for those generations, and like mix them within their strategy together to create more longevity for their traditional media. But I definitely think they need to add that, because what is happening is that these content creators that are appealing more to these younger generations are bringing those news to their demographics in new formats. So it's not a matter of completely changing the essence of who the traditional media is. It's a matter of just reinventing it and bringing in a format that is appealing to them.
You know, one potential solution I see, Yvonne, is hiring some of these content creators, some of these superstars that Gen Z follow right now, hire them in traditional media and the major networks and the cables and all these other media outlets. Hire them to be future spokespeople, to be the faces of those networks. That way you create that bridge for Gen Z to eventually walk over after college and during their careers to eventually watch.
I love it. That's brilliant. Yeah. That's brilliant. That's exactly what I say when I say they don't have to disappear or change who they are. They have to reinvent themselves, and that's a brilliant way to reinvent themselves.
Well, speaking of genius, Yvonne Kinzer, she's with Vantage Innovation Lab. You guys remember the massive marketing campaign, very successful campaign from years ago, the avocados from Mexico. Remember that? Yeah, she was part of that massive campaign and other great success stories. Yvonne, it's a pleasure. We'll call you again. You take care. That's Yvonne Kinzer. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas. Yeah, we. I lost the connection briefly. Hey, thank you for tuning in to The Dana Show today. Steve, I don't know if we got time for the stupid audio of the day in case you want to play something like that. I have a no time reference right now, but if you want, you can roll on that. Otherwise, you tell me, buddy. You tell me.
We could do something here.
All right, go ahead, Mike.
All right, KJP was trying to defend Hunter Biden. This is what she had to say about it.
To be very clear here, we're going to be consistent as we have been throughout the past 2 years. And sadly, this president has had to deal with many disasters in the past 2 years, and he has shown up and he has been there.
But initially, no comment, as always. All right. Hey, appreciate you tuning in to The Dana Show. You want to say hi online, it's at Sergio Talk, at Sergio Talk on X, which is formerly Twitter. Hey, you tell me, Steve, how much time we have as far as a few more seconds. Yeah. All right. There was a follow-up to the blindsided story from it. Remember Michael Orr, saved by this family, the Tuohys, and he said that they didn't adopt him. They became his conservators. Well, the follow-up, they were conservators because he was 18. They could not be adopted, and the family only made $14,000 per family member, not millions of dollars, as was reported. Well, that's it for the program. Appreciate you tuning in. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.